Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Clinch Powell, a weekly conversation about the things that matter most in our lives. Now, here's your hosts, Stace Cargi and Lindy Turner.
Welcome back to another edition of Dollars and Cents with Clinch Powell. I am Stace Cargi.
And I'm Lindy Turner.
And this is our weekly conversation about all things that matter, our families, our finances, our communities.
Exactly.
And on that note,
our Earth home.
Our Earth home.
Yes, because it is almost Earth Day.
Love that.
I know. I know. So when is Earth Day, Stace?
The 22nd.
That's right.
Woohoo!
Is it always April 22nd?
It is always April 22nd.
That's
and you
exactly
know how
right.
I know that?
How?
Because Lindy Turner told me. That's how I know.
That's right.
Actually, because Clinch Powell submitted their application to be Clinch Powell on Earth Day.
April 22nd on Earth Day. We sure did.
And
so
I found that out because
We were talking about Earth Day.
Because Lindy Turner told me.
Exactly. I did. Lindy Turner told you.
Lindy
yes.
Turner told me. And if Lindy Turner talks, you listen. That is the truth. Hey, before we start this, I just want to give a shout out to Invitation Ministries and Sarah Myers Group.
Yes.
Went to their banquet last week, last Thursday. Fantastic event. Please, I mean, you're talking about recovery and addiction and such an inspirational story. If you haven't had a chance to catch her, go to our website, clinchpal.net, click on the radio show. She was on the 6th. She was fantastic. You'll learn a lot about her and how to donate, invitationministries.com.
Exactly.
So I just wanted to throw that out there.
Definitely want to hear Sarah and invitationministries.com. It's so uplifting.
Yes.
So motivating. So important.
Yes.
So now. So, yeah. So, you know, if you feel led, give them a little love.
Yes.
Because they will use it well.
Absolutely. So on that note, speaking of love,
yes,
let us love our environment. Let us love our planet.
Exactly. Yes. I feel quite lucky to have been born on Earth.
Yes, me. You know, well, me too.
I think it's the best planet. How about you?
I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I like gravity. So, you know, although there's certain things that gravity has taken over on my body that they can,
yeah,
you know,
a little too much gravity at 68,
sometimes.
Let me tell you.
But for the most part, I enjoy gravity. I enjoy oxygen.
Yeah,
so,
right.
You know, I'm pretty good in water.
It's
I'm pretty good
about
with
keeping
that.
Your feet on the ground. So,
I like
yes.
It.
I mean, we're being facetious here, but the reality is Earth is just an amazing, unbelievable, you know, miracle.
Yes.
I mean, I know it's all science, or a lot of it's science, and also, you know, God's creation. However, you know, it is an amazing thing that we live on.
It's pretty crazy when you think about it.
It is.
We're on a rock that's flying through space.
Right. And a lot of it's lava rock.
Right.
You know, it's really hot. Yes, we're going around and around and flying through space. So what is your, you know, also when you think Earth, yes, oxygen and that yeah. sort of thing. But it's so, it's all about the natural environment for
yes.
me.
Yeah.
Actually. So what does your heart the most good when you think about nature and our fabulous
You
Earth,
shouldn't even have to even ask me this. I know you know what the answer
I'm
is.
I'm pretty sure I know the answer, but you just might as well tell everybody.
The ocean. The ocean is my happy place. I can sit on a cruise ship balcony and stare at the water for hours and be mesmerized.
Yep.
Because, and there is a very, very, very famous song by Stevie Nicks. Stevie Nicks sings it. And one of the lines is, "The sea changes colors, but the sea does not change."
Oh.
And I'm always like, wow, the sea changes colors, but the sea does not change. Because it always comes around and it's always there and it's evolving and if you look at the ocean, if you've ever had the chance to an ocean, a lake, a creek,
mm-hmm.
and if you don't see that as a living, breathing entity, mm-hmm. that's how I see all of this water, right?
Well,
to me, it's breathing, right?
Yes, they
not
are.
Just the fish and the things that are under it, but I mean, just that water and
mm-hmm.
what water means to us.
Mm-hmm.
I could stare at water all day long.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I also love the ocean, but I would be hard pressed to say that I love it. I mean, I ask you a question that I don't even know how to answer it myself because it It varies. Okay, I am very much a four seasons girl.
Yeah.
I feel so lucky and honored and blessed to have been born right here in Tennessee and, you know, in Cumberland County. And because we have four seasons.
Yes.
And I love having, I've lived where you don't really have four seasons.
I grew up where you don't have four seasons.
And yeah, it's like that you're missing. You're missing things.
I remember being a little girl. I grew up in Los Angeles, down the outskirts of LA. And we used to try to make the most of it, right? We used to talk about, oh, we're so lucky that we can go to the beach on Christmas. Mm-hmm. We're so lucky, right, that we can go to the mountains and, you know, and be in the sun and be in the lakes and the beach. And yet, I wanted to see snow so bad. I had seen snow on the ground because sometimes it would snow in the mountains in Southern California and you would see that. But I wanted to actually see it snow. I did not see it snow until I was 15 years old.
Oh.
My family had moved to Washington State and I was sitting in class and it started to snow. And all of a sudden I checked out. I mentally just checked out and I'm staring out the window. And I remember finally the teacher said, Stacy, like three or four different times. I'm like, huh, what? And she's like, welcome back. And she said, what are you looking at? And I said, I'm looking at it snow. And she says, yeah. And I said, I've never seen it snow. And the teacher was so great. She let me go outside. And kids were laughing at me, right? They thought that this was hysterical.
Right.
And I'm standing out in snow. And it was like every Christmas movie that you see with the child that's just like the magic in their eyes.
Right. And the snowflakes are on their eyelashes.
Right.
Every Hallmark movie.
Exactly. I was the Hallmark kid. And I just remember standing in the snow. And everyone else making fun of me because I'm crazy.
Right.
Which, you know, I'm not arguing that fact. But standing out in the snow and just thinking, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen in my life. Like, this is the coolest thing. So I think if you've never been in that situation and lived in four seasons, it's easy to take it's easy to not understand that this is a thing.
Right. You know, it's like, you say, well, what's your favorite season? I used to, hands down, it was fall for me. Mm-hmm. Anymore, you know, they all are very important to me, but, you know, we're in a very important season as well. I mean, here it is, spring.
Yes.
I mean, it's the rebirth of the earth, the things, you know, isn't it amazing how, you know, it's already happened, but that it's like overnight you'll have like a warmish day or two, and then all of a sudden the pasture fields green up. The red buds become the cherry trees first, pear trees. Please don't plant Bradford pears, people.
Yes.
Please, they're poison. Thank you. And my family can't breathe. But at any rate, the pear trees, the cherry trees, the red buds. Red buds are my favorite.
I love the red buds.
Then the dogwoods and the poplar trees. The leaves come out. And there's just the myriads of the colors, the different colors of green. It's just, it's fascinating and mind-boggling. And it's such a miracle. Such a miracle when the earth begins to bloom and come out of its little sleepy days from winter.
All of a sudden, the daffodils do it for me.
Oh yeah,
I start seeing daffodils and irises popping
up. The crocus.
And what's really great is that when they're not planted, you know, because you knew that a squirrel had taken a seed somewhere, and then next thing you know, there's that little patch every year.
Yeah,
it's just the cutest thing.
Exactly. Yeah, how they get from here to there.
It's the best.
But you know, you were talking about the ocean,
yes.
And then we'll get on to talking about deeper subjects. But the thing for me, of course, there's nothing like hearing the waves with the ocean.
Yes.
But really, really, right up there is a creek.
Yes.
And you know, my degree is in agriculture, so I'm not an idiot or anything, and I understand the water and water tables and all of the things. However, it's still miraculous to me that, you know, a blue line creek always runs. And I know where it starts. We're in the hills. They go up the hill, whatever. But it's just like it never – I don't care if we have a big old long dry spell or whatever, that water still comes up out of that water, out of the ground, and rolls down that hill. And I find that extremely fascinating.
Yeah.
When you think about it.
It is. It's unbelievable.
It's like, you know.
How does this happen? I mean, we know it's from a science standpoint,
but from an emotional. Daggone miracle.
That's right. But from an emotional standpoint, you're right. I mean, it's magical.
So those things are so important to us. Again, you know, started a nonprofit and it birthed it on Earth Day. And who we are, it's all about community development and conservation, that we can have healthy community development and we can have a healthy environment all at the same time, that they don't have to be in conflict. And isn't that an obvious and hopeful statement to make?
I love this. And people will ask me, how did Clinch Powell get started? Why am I, you know, because Clinch Powell is based in Rutledge, so mm-hmm. we're not in Cumberland County where we are now. But, I mean, that's not where we were birthed, right? And I love the story of how Clinch Powell evolved. And from the point where when, you know, you being in the beginning of Clinch mm-hmm. Powell, it was about saving these wildlife, these
right.
fishes.
Right. The fishes.
The mollusks. The mollusks. I guess
yes.
It's a mollusk.
It came into being really kind of interestingly back in the late 80s. And it actually came from an effort by then Governor Lamar Alexander, who was a very strong Republican who went on to be a senator later. But Lamar Alexander was and is a very strong environmentalist. And when he became governor, I think it was like 84, 85, something like that, when he became governor, at the time in Tennessee, it was legal to dynamite through bedrock, the limestone that we all have, to dynamite through bedrock to put your septic system and inject your septic waste through the rock.
Oh, wow.
So where does that go? When things go through the bedrock, where does it go, Stace? Do you know?
Water.
It goes to the water table.
Yeah.
And once your water table gets polluted, you can't hardly get it unpolluted,
yeah.
You know. So he, as governor, kicked off and established this whole safe growth initiative right in his office. And one of the things was that, you know, to be smart, not to stop development, but to try to be smart about development. And that's one of the things that did get stopped, was you can no longer dynamite through bedrock to inject waste into the groundwater, because most of Tennessee is not on city water.
Yeah.
Hello, there is no water, no treated water coming to people's yeah. houses. So so that was a really big deal, and part of that was not only groundwater, but above groundwater. And it came soon after a big event from North Carolina on the Little Pigeon Rivers, where there was big pollution events coming from North Carolina into Tennessee with those rivers. And North Carolina and Tennessee had a really bad relationship there for a while over that pollution, because that pollution impacted major drinking water supplies in Tennessee around Alcoa and Maryville and Gatlinburg, all those areas. So they did testing on several rivers that were particularly important. And the Clinch and Powell Rivers, which of course we were named after, are two of the most important rivers on the planet, as a matter of fact, on Earth, because for many reasons, but one of the reasons is they have one of the most important, strongest population of freshwater mussels. in the world. At one time, there were 40 different species of freshwater mussels in those rivers. Today, that's down to more like 17. But that's still a lot. That is still far, far more than most anywhere else in the world. And one of the reasons why, when you talk to biologists who've studied this, it's really fascinating. But one of the reasons why there are so many more in these river systems is because the Ice Age glaciers didn't come down quite this far. And so there's been more evolution time. So that's how they evolved into so many different species, which is fascinating. But today there are, you know, there are 20 or so threatened and endangered species in those rivers. And so those rivers begin in Virginia, where there's a lot of coal mining. And when there are events, major water events like big floods or whatever, there are breaches in the dams that hold back those coal fines. You know, little teeny tiny particles, yep, black coal, and those would breach over the dams into the rivers, and they come downstream. And as when the water gets slower because the floodwaters recede, then those really light little particles become sediment, and they settle down to the bottom of the river. Well, freshwater mussels don't move. They have little feet, and they live on the gravel at the bottom of the rivers, and especially shallow where there's shoals and it's fast moving, and they hold on there and they don't move. Well, those coal fines settle down, or sometimes it's sediment. There's other kinds of pollution as well, and they smother. So they literally choke the mussels to death. So that becomes like the canary in the coal mine for rivers, and that is like an early sign of bad things happening, of pollution and death. So Tennessee was paying attention to what was coming over the state line from Virginia, and decided to try to do something a little better than not be in such an adversarial role as North Carolina and Virginia were. And so they started an effort to try to bring leadership together and talk about things that could be done collectively to protect these rivers that are so important globally. And the program called Resource Conservation and Development was brought to the table. So that's how we formed the Clinch Powell Resource Conservation Development Program. We're known as a council. And that's how it kind of all came to be. So we started off and are still very concerned with water quality.
Yes.
And here's the thing, though. Here's what makes it different. It's not just about the flora, the fauna, the wildlife in those rivers. It's about the people who impact them.
Exactly.
Which become the residents and the communities in our along the rivers and streams everywhere, for that matter, because we, as human beings, are the biggest. We're the ones who do the polluting, you know. Yeah. So it became about working a holistic system. We're all part of an ecosystem. And in the areas where the Clinch and Powell Rivers flow, and by the way, those are the rivers that make up Norris Reservoir. Norris Lake was the first TVA, Tennessee Valley Authority Lake. It is the lake that brought electricity to Appalachia.
Look at that.
I bet you didn't know that.
I had no idea. That's why I'm listening. I'm just like listening to the story.
Yeah. So that's a whole nother story for another day. How can we make communities and lives better and protect this glorious uniqueness of the rivers and the quality of the water? So that's what it became about, because the reality is that the biggest pollutant is non-point source pollution, not point source. Now, in discussing in the coal mines, when there's a big breach in a sediment dam, that's a point. You can point to a point, and that has produced this big, giant polluting event. But for the most part, it's non-point source pollution, which is things like when you go to the Walmart or Kroger's or any of us, you know, we're out in our cars all the time. Mm-hmm. And when we park, if you happen to have, coolant leaking mm-hmm. from your car or you have some oil leak yeah. from your car, then it rains and it washes down it to the gutter.
And it sprays.
And then the gun runs down the gutter into yep. the grate. And yep. then it runs from the grate into the nearest creek or yep. wherever. So it's coming. It's small amounts of pollution coming from lots of different places, not one point. And that's the biggest source of pollution. So those are the things that you and I and everybody listening can have an impact of.
And I think about this when I think about Clinch Powell. So as Clinch Powell is growing and developing and it is in its youth, right?
Yes.
Because we just celebrated 30 years. 35. Clinch Powell.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, 30 we just 35. Well, we 30, actually 35? We're 36, 30,
36 years old. Yeah, 36
on Earth Day. Two
a
days.
Lady never tells her true age.
I know.
I'm
two
just
days
making
will be 36.
It up. So 36 years. So it's, but as Clinch Powell is growing up,
right?
It's like you start looking at, like you're saying, the non-point. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, so what is happening in our community that is affecting this? Well, we've got farmers over here with inadequate septic systems and drainage systems and
watering, having water all over their farm so their animals don't have to concentrate in one spot in a creek.
Right. And what needs to happen for these people to be able to bring these systems out? Well, mm-hmm. maybe they can't afford to have needed repairs done, or they cannot afford to have a new septic system put in, or they cannot afford to make these changes in their home environment, mm-hmm. which is now becoming another contributor.
Mm-hmm.
So I love the fact that the powers that be at Clinch Powell were looking not just at the muscles, which were important,
right,
but looking at, okay, there's more to the puzzle, right?
There is.
And now we're talking about people and how can we help people?
Exactly. Because it is all about the people. I know for new employees at Clinch Powell, that's one of the things we go on field trips, and it's like you have to look around. It's like, okay, so we care about, you know, this is a really important river system. And while we started Clinch Powell, I could spend as much time talking about the Obed and, you know, Daddy's Creek and everything mm-hmm. else here as well. But, you
because
know,
you are from Cumberland County.
Right. I mean, and it's as important
yes.
here, too.
Absolutely.
But you're going down a road, and it's like, oh, look, here's, you know, this. There could be better things happening here, whether it's somebody's home or a farm, but you have to raise your eyes up and look at the house, you know, and the things that are happening there. You know, you can't talk to someone about polluting the creek when it's kind of clear that they have some serious home repairs that need to be made.
That's right.
That they have other, you know, they have things that they need to do for their family. And, you know, that's, so what can we do to help that?
That's right.
Which is always kind of where we came from. You got to raise your eyes. You have to look at the whole thing. Do not insult me by saying, you know, you need to get your cows out of the creek when I'm not sure if I'm going to have food on the table for
right.
my kids.
That's right.
So that's how Clinch Powell got into the business of home repair, mm-hmm. helping people move up in the housing world, helping them keep their homes. We have programs that can connect farmers to cost share programs. We have some cost share programs ourselves. We have small consumer loan program for folks who may need a little help to build credit or to maybe get out of a situation. But it's all things that might have to do with families in their lives as well, not just one thing.
And why is this important? This is important because it's not just about the creek. It's not just about the mussels. It's not just about the farmer. It's not just about the cows and the water. It's about our community.
It is.
It's about
our town. It's about our county. It's about our state. It's about our nation. It's about our country. It's about our world. It's about our earth.
That's
these
exactly
things are
right.
all connected.
They are all connected, and little things can make a big difference.
So let's talk about that, because we've got just a few more minutes. Mm-hmm. So what are some little things, some little changes that maybe we can make to make our earth our community? Because
mm-hmm.
we're going to look at it as all one thing, right?
Right.
Our earth is our community. Our community is our earth.
Mm-hmm.
What are some little changes, Lindy, that we could make today
mm-hmm.
that can make our earth a little bit happier?
Well, you know, here's an example. I know we all, you know, clearly recycling, but that's kind of the thing people always go through so quickly. But here's one you may not hear so much about, and that's pre-cycling.
Mm.
So
what's pre-cycling?
Pre-cycling. It is when you buy something, you make a decision on how much waste you're making.
She's looking at me as
Look
I'm drinking my bottle of water.
Packaging. Mm. Ah, I know it. Stacey's got a big old plastic,
bottle of water.
So, you know, the plastic is everywhere. It's a very important thing, that, you know, that in our life. However, how many plastic bottles of water or whatever are we drinking?
I've got three in my car right now.
I know, but you
I
want
can
to
tell you that. I've got three plastic bottles in my car.
And how many, you know, like the drink, the whatever, why do, you know, whether you have Stanley or Yeti yeah. or whatever brand, you know, so many of them,
yes.
we, you know, well, put some water in those and maybe not buy so many plastic bottles. Plastic takes forever to decompose,
yeah.
and it uses a lot of fossil fuels to make. So be thoughtful. I'm not going to just say don't ever yeah. because, you know, we live a life here, but we can be thoughtful.
You know, and that's
Think
interesting because they make bottled water that's in paper, recyclable paper. In paper, you know, it's like why can't I find that everywhere,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Why that would be a nice thing. I
it
know on the cruise ships they've banned plastic straws.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I will be the first person to say I hate paper straws.
Yep.
So what have I done? I've got metal straws that I take with me, and the glass straws
there
that I
go.
Take with me
Look
on the cruise
that.
Ship. Because I don't like to have ice on my teeth.
Oh, yeah.
It's a thing
so
for
like
me.
That, yeah.
It's like a thing.
Yeah.
So I need a straw, but those paper straws do nothing for me
yeah.
except wilt.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And here's an easy one, you know. If we go to Sam's, you're going down to Cookville, go to Sam's, pretty sure most of us take, you know, you got bags
yeah.
in the car to put the Sam's groceries yeah. in there to yeah. get back in your house. But are you taking them to Walmart?
Yeah.
Are you taking them to Kroger's?
Yeah.
You know, you got the bags. I know you do.
You know, I do.
Use
I've got them.
Them
in my trunk. And I take them when I go to certain stores that you have to bag your own. But you're right. I don't take them
I know.
In the
and then
other
it's ones. Like, where do we stuff these plastic
yeah.
grocery bags or shopping bags when we get home?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just thoughtful things.
That's really
and
good
you know, and everything you're buying, they're hanging on a nail. How much packaging? The packaging is killing us.
Yeah.
You know, so if their products one is not in a big plastic bubble wrap thing, maybe consider that one, or consider that one after you consider one that has less packaging.
Right.
So that's pre-cycling. Be thoughtful about the packaging, because packaging is a huge amount of waste, and most of it is more plastic made from fossil fuels. Think about that. Some other things at home to think about
mm-hmm.
as well. You know, we're in spring now, but you're going to be doing some spring cleaning. Even though the cold weather may be about to be behind us, but it's still a good time to think about your weather stripping, because your air conditioning leaks out
yep.
the same way as drafts come in the winter. So that saves on your air conditioning costs, which then can lead to the Freon thing. So those things help. I know you're hot in the summer. But, you know, the difference between setting your thermostat at 72 and 68 is a ton of energy use. So that will save. That's good for the environment. And it's also good for your pocketbook.
Yeah.
So those are easy. Started off, we're talking about maybe oil drips. Don't, you know. Why is your oil dripping? That's not good. It's not good
yeah.
for your car either.
Yeah.
Just, you know, taking care of those things. Please don't litter.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a big one.
Do you know that research has shown, because we should do a whole story on some of these, research has shown that people will not walk more than 10 feet in general to a trash can?
Wow.
What is wrong with us?
Those are the same people that don't put their buggy back. I know we got about 20 seconds left. So how do we learn more about Earth Day and things that we can do?
You could Google things. You could actually come to clinchpal.net and find lots of things out about precycling and recycling and things you can do for the Earth Day.
And on that note, we will see you next week. I'm Stace Carden for Lindy Turner.
People.
This is Dollars and Cents with Clinch Pal on WAEW. ClinchPal.net.
Waters us, houses us, and she is our friend.
And on that note, this is Dollars and Cents with Clinch Pal. For Lindy Turner, I'm Stace Cargi. We'll see you next week with Dollars and Cents with Clinch Pal and WAEW. Have a great week.
Dollars and Cents with Clinch Powell airs every Sunday beginning at 1:15 right here on WAEW AM.